everyone who has come out. I've learned a long time ago, you know, you would think that as a public speaker that the size of the audience would make a difference, but it doesn't. It doesn't. If there's just one that I'm preaching to, I feel about the same as if the house is full. I do appreciate having anyone who's interested to come out on a weekday night and hear things concerning the gospel. And we're going to continue this evening with our theme passage from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm going to, though, be using Luke the 8th chapter as the basis for most of the things that I'm going to say tonight. Now, I did notice and I did appreciate and enjoy Bill's sermon last night, and I'm not going to talk about the same things that he talked about exactly, although, you know, when you get right down to it, the gospel's the gospel, and we do end up talking about the same things at some point. But he focused on the drifting part of the passage in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, and he very capably pointed out there's a lot of different ways to get off track and end up where you don't want to be. And I appreciate Bill's effort, but in his sermon, he did use a passage from Luke chapter 8. And so when he spoke that passage out, I thought, well, he's going to get into what I'm going to talk about. But he didn't really. So it's okay. I've entitled the lesson, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And so you can right away see from our theme passage that I'm focusing more on the paying more careful attention to the things that we've heard, because that's what we do in order to not drift, which was where Bill concentrated. And so I want to talk about hearing tonight and what it means. And, you know, let me, if I could, we'll just go right over to Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to read the parable at verses 5 through 8 because it's real quick, and then we'll go on. And it says from the NIV, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered, because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown." Now, we'll get into the explanation of this in just a little bit, but I hope you can see here. Now, if you drop down to verse 18, you will read there, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen." Doesn't that sound a lot like Hebrews 2:1? We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. How we listen and what we've heard. Otherwise, we'll drift away, it says here. So Luke 18:8 says, "Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has," it says, "will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him." You know, the latter part of verse 8, Jesus says, "He who has ears, hear," right? "Let him hear what I have to say." Hearing is so vitally important. And don't misunderstand here now. We're not speaking of having sound waves enter our ears and vibrate the inner part of our ear, you know, and so the brain takes over and we hear noise, right? I can't help but think of little Sarai that comes, that's deaf, the little girl that comes and she's deaf, you know, and she's deaf with her ears, but she still hears, see? So you don't have to have this functioning to be able to hear. And that's really the kind of hearing that I want to talk about. If you got noise coming in these bigger little things that are on the side of your head, whichever you have, that doesn't mean that you're hearing in the way God wants us to hear. But too often, many of us feel that we are listening. You know, how many people have you ever talked to? You say, are you a good listener? How many people ever say no? Everybody thinks they're a good listener. And so many people feel, and when we talk about feeling, and when we talk about obeying God, I would submit to be very careful with trusting just your feelings. And I'm not saying that your feelings and your emotions aren't important. Boy, I would like to see a little bit more feeling and emotion inserted into our worship of God. But we can't let that be the overruling factor in determining what is right. But sometimes people feel that they're listening to God because they're hearing something. And so they attribute it to God. And therein lies some of the trouble, because sometimes it's not God that they're hearing. And most of the time, you know what people are hearing? They're hearing themselves. They're hearing what they want to hear. They're hearing what they already have in here before they begin to listen. So I already know what I want God to tell me, don't you? And so when I know what God wants to tell me, I have a tendency to hear that. And I say, well, that's what God wants me to do. And we need to be careful with that. You know, two men were walking down the road one day, and one of them said, my wife talks to herself a lot. And the other man says, well, me too, but she doesn't know it. She thinks I'm listening, right? And that's kind of the point, right? I fear that too often we think that we are listening to God. There's a line from the Paul Simon song, The Boxer, that a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. Well, that's what's being talked about here. Luke 18:8. This is a severe warning that we're given about how to hear, how we hear. It makes a difference. It makes a big difference. See, God wants to communicate with us. He wants to speak to us. But God has a way that He's determined to do it in the latter days. And it's through His Word. It's through His revelation. It's through the revelation of His Holy Spirit. He desires to reveal His will to you and to me. He wants us to know what it is that He would like for us to do. He wants to be actively involved in our lives, in leading us. God wants to have a relationship with us, but it's all based upon us being able to hear Him. Now, verse 16 of Luke 8, Jesus says that He came to reveal truth. Not to hide it, see? Jesus came to let the truth out, to reveal to mankind God's plan for salvation. After all of this time, Jesus was the one that brought it to us. And the warning Christ gives us in verse 18 is in reference to hearing that truth that Jesus revealed. And with what we do, see, this is the thing. It's not just hearing. Now, I know we can hear and not hear the truth. Mm-hmm. Or we can hear and hear the truth, but then it goes on to talk about what we do with it after we hear it. Uh-huh. Many of us hear it, and then what? You know, how do you listen? What do you do with it? That's so vitally important, because what you do with what you hear will determine eventually what you receive from God. You know, we use the expression, use it or lose it. And I think it's true of hearing too. Or if you would, listening. Listening is a talent, and not everybody's good at it. And if you have the ability to listen, and that's what I mean when I say here, and you don't use it, you will lose it, just like every other ability you have. You'll get to where you can't hear anything except what you want to hear. Now, how can you expect to keep your ability to hear if you never want to listen to anybody? You're just not going to. Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who hears me." Blessed is the man who hears me, says God. And so it is so. All right, now let's get back to Luke 8. And I'm going to start with verse 11. I'm not going to read the entire explanation through. We're going to take it a verse at a time. And I'm going to try to be as brief as I can here. I didn't plan to talk for a long time. Verse 11 says, and this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Okay, we're going to start with that, concept. Now, he goes on to outline to us here four different types of hearers. Now, I know we usually call this the parable of the soils, right? And so that's fine. But when we get down to it here, the different soils are different kinds of people, and how they hear and interpret the message, isn't it? And so this parable of the sower, let's look at the first type of hearer that we read about here in chapter 8, verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes, and he takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. These are what I'm calling not careless hearers, but careless hearers. The message, whether they intend it to or not, see, good intentions are not enough either, but whether they intend it to or not, they sit down and the preacher preaches, or they study, and it goes in, but it doesn't wait, and it doesn't stick in here at all. Then it goes right back out, and they're in the same place they were. As soon as they get out that door, they couldn't even tell you what the preacher had to say, right? It just in one ear and out the other. And you know what? They couldn't care less anyway. Really doesn't matter what he said. They just wanted to get out, make their appearance, and go home. It is possible for us to hear with our physical ears and not hear with our ears of understanding. Matthew 13:13 says, "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." He's talking about the enemies of Christ here, isn't he? He spoke in parables. Now, these parables, even for those who were not his enemies, were sometimes difficult to comprehend. But Jesus helped them, just as he did here, by explaining and teaching them what the parables meant. But the ones who were his enemies, they thought they got it, right? Well, I hear him. Yeah, I heard that. And they don't understand. They heard what he said. They heard the words. But they don't understand that the words have meaning deeper than the surface. The words are the words of life. They don't understand that. There are those that make the mistake. I've seen people like this. They make the mistake of thinking that if they can simply hear one preacher after another, you know, they're going to gain some kind of spiritual benefit from this. So they'll go from one place to the other, and they'll listen to the preacher preach, and you know, they like some of them and they don't like others, but they think that there's some real benefit. The more they hear, the better. And I'm not saying going to hear other preachers is a bad thing, but I think they kind of miss the point. This kind of hearing just going here and hearing and walking out. Boy, that was a great sermon. That guy can really preach, you know. And they go to the next guy. You know, he's better than the last one I heard. So they're hearing the message, but they're kind of like a raven. Flies from cage to cage to cage. And you know what? He's still not a dove. He'll never be a dove. No matter how many cages that you fly to, it's not going to make you a dove. What matters? What really matters? It's not just hearing, but it's grasping and holding on to the truth inwardly. It's personal. What you hear that preacher said, it applies to you. It's not for your entertainment. So often we expect the preacher to be entertaining. And, you know, as a preacher or sometime preacher, I sometimes wish I could be a little bit more entertaining than I am. But that's not really the point, is it? It's about the truth. It's about hearing the truth and internalizing it and making it matter. You know, if you don't do this, if you don't take that truth inwardly and make it personal so that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're going to die in your sins. I don't know of a nicer way to say it. But if you live that way, ultimately you're going to die. And just hearing these words and never acting upon them, you're not going to be a dove. You're still going to be a raven. You need to do something. It's a tragedy that the bulk of hearers, and I believe this, are hearers only. Hearers only. And they're no more likely to make heaven than the pews that they sit on when they hear the words. That's sad, isn't it? I don't even like to say that. But you know it's true, and I know it's true. The second kind of hearer that we read here is in verse 13. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. This is what I call the superficial hearer. They hear, and they don't just hear. They believe what they hear. They receive the word. They do take it in respect to their forgiveness and in respect to their salvation and redemption. They take it. They like that. They internalize it. They believe it. But they then fail to hear what the word says concerning the call to discipleship. See, it's, well, you mean after I'm baptized into the body, there's more? That's the beginning. That's not the end. Of course there's more. Call to disciple. They do not count, and sometimes I think it's our fault when we teach, but they don't count the cost of salvation. Now, I know I hear you saying, well, I thought salvation was free. And you know what? You're right. Salvation is absolutely free. God gives it to you. When you obey and you go down in that water, God gives you that salvation and it costs you nothing. But the maintenance costs, they're high. Make no mistake, He gives it to you. Now you have to keep it. And if you're going to keep it, you have to give God everything. We don't tell people that usually before they're baptized. Maybe we should. We have to give God, you know, we have to have a willingness to commit our lives and deny ourselves. Deny self. Well, that doesn't sound like any fun. And to sacrifice for others and for the work of God. John 12, 25 and 26 says that he that loves his life shall lose it. You know, I like the way Jesus talks. You know, people listen to him and say, that guy, he's crazy, right? He's not crazy. You got to understand what he's saying. So you got to listen not the way that his enemies listen, but the way that Christians listen here. He that loves his life shall lose it. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't like being alive. What is his point here? His point is, he says, he that hates his life in this world. It doesn't mean that I hate being alive, but I should hate the carnal nature that is a problem for me and for you and for everyone that tries to walk upright. We should hate that carnal nature and shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve him, now listen to this. Let him follow me. Follow me. Well, that involves a little effort. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want the Father to honor me. I suppose I need to follow Jesus. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Deny himself. Give up your will. See, that's hard, isn't it? To actually not just say it, but have it be real that what I want doesn't matter. Now, it'll always matter to me some. I'll confess right now, I don't see myself as a human being ever reaching the point where what I want doesn't matter at all. I hope to put it on the bottom of the list, see? If I put it on the bottom of the list, I already know what's going to happen. I'm never going to get to it because what you need is more important. What God requires of me and the good deeds and the good works that interfere with where I'd like to go and where I'd like to be, you know what I'm saying? It's going to interfere with that. And I'm going to then follow Jesus and deny myself. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Take up the cross. You know, the cross, isn't that what Jesus carried on his back? Isn't that the burden that he carried? You know, I'm going to have to carry a burden around all the time. Yeah, that's what being a Christian is. And follow me, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, there's a lot that this world has to offer. I'm tempted by it often, if I will be honest, and probably you too. But what I need to do is recognize what that will get me. If I get too caught up in that, I already know I'm really not going to be able to get everything I want anyway. There's always going to be something that I'm disappointed that I wasn't able to get. And then in the end, I'm going to come up short when I stand before the judgment seat. I'm going to come up short. And then what will I have? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Number three, Luke 8:14. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. That's a lot of what we were just talking about, isn't it? We're talking about carnal hearers. You know, this person receives the word, and I think this person is enthusiastic about receiving the word, and they try. They try to live for Christ. And they even participate in church activities. And sometimes they become teachers or sometimes even preachers. And they confess Christ in their daily walk. But the problem is that they're unwilling to completely sever their relationship with the world. They try, but they still got that one foot back here hanging in the world. And so they're choked. What does the scripture say? Well, they're choked by life's worries. And they're choked by life's riches and pleasures. These are things that are constantly getting in their way of them maturing and becoming what God would have them to be. You know, they live a double life, trying to live for Christ while still living in the world. And they bring forth their fruit, but the fruit never matures. It doesn't have a chance because all of these weeds, all of these things that we're not letting go of completely, is choking us, and it's choking the fruit. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world." Listen to that. It doesn't mean don't love people. It's talking about the carnal things of the world. Don't love those. You might say, the love of money is the root of all evil. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That's what the world is about. It's about things. It's about money. We cannot love these things. But it's hard because we cannot live without some of these things. We require things physically. We acquire a certain amount of money. But we can never allow ourselves to get attached to that. Our relationship cannot be with the carnal things. Our relationship must be with Christ and our Father in heaven. And when we allow these things to be the things that our relationship is with, then we're lost. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All right, the last point. The sincere hearers, the ones that the gospel really reaches. Luke 8:15. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, we're not going to spend a lot with that word, but we could. Persevering, that's how they produce a crop. Now, implied in the idea of persevering is that there's going to be some trouble, right? You only need to persevere when it's not easy. You don't call it persevering when things are easy. They call it persevering when you have to overcome, don't they? And so by persevering, that's the only way we're going to be able to produce a crop. At the beginning of King Solomon's rule, you remember, he prayed for one superior gift from God. It wasn't wealth, not a long life, but he prayed for something far more valuable. He prayed for an understanding heart. Hear that? An understanding heart, which translated means a hearing heart. What a thing for a leader to pray for. A heart that can hear. A heart that can hear the cries of the people that he serves. He understood that. He needed that to lead properly. 1 Kings 3:9. So give your heart, or give your servant a discerning heart, he said. Able to discern, to govern your people and distinguish between right or wrong. Wow, what a prayer to God. And he said, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Now, he wasn't the only one that needs a discerning, hearing heart. We need to be able to hear each other. You know, you say, well, so-and-so has a problem, this problem or that problem or whatever. Well, I didn't know that. It might have been obvious. Sometimes we can have a discerning heart and we can see around us. We see somebody that we have a relationship. See, that's required too. And if I'm going to know that you are troubled, it's kind of required that I know what your behavior is like, that I have a relationship with you, so I know what you are like when you're not troubled. So I have something to compare it to. Otherwise, I'm never going to know if you're troubled, and you know why? I don't have a relationship with you. I mean, I have maybe a superficial relationship, but I need a discerning heart. I need to get to know you so I can discern. And I know I'm not a king, but I'm a prince, and so are you, right? My father's a king. And so I need to be serving my father by listening to you and knowing when you need. And you need to do the same for me. We need to have this relationship together. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is so important. Knowing God's voice. Now, there are, like I said in the beginning, there are a lot of voices, if you will, to be heard. We usually hear them through people. But sometimes people say they hear God speak to them. And rather than dispute whether they do or not, I want to ask you, well, how do you know it's God? You see, how do you know that it's God? Do you have a relationship with Him so that you can tell whether it's God or not? Do you know what God says and what God teaches? Because let me tell you, if what you're hearing is not what His revelation reveals, it isn't God. You think Satan doesn't talk to people? I'm thinking most of the time when people hear what they think is the voice of God, it's Satan. It's Satan telling them exactly the opposite of what God would have them to do. They don't know God's voice. They don't know. And you can't follow Him unless you do. John 8, 31 and 32. We're really familiar with this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth. What is the truth? It's what Peter confessed in Matthew 16:16, isn't it? Thou art the Christ. That's the truth. He's the Messiah. That's the truth. He's the one that came to save mankind, to deliver salvation. He's God on earth. That's the truth. And He died for our sins. And He went down into that grave. And He came up after 3 days. He defeated death. And because He defeated death, we can defeat death if we accept what He teaches and believe on His name. That's the truth. And that truth is the only thing that can make mankind really free. Otherwise, you are going to be a servant of sin whether you want to or not. You don't even have a choice unless you accept that the freedom that comes from the truth of Jesus. I want to be free from sin. And Jesus has the formula for that. You know, those who are closest to Christ are those who hear Him, yes. But those who obey Him, too. It's required for a relationship. Luke 8:21. "And he who answered and said unto them, my mother and my brother are these which hear the word of God and do it." Well, what did Jesus say there? You're my family. You're my family if you hear and you do the things I say. If you don't, it's implied that you're not His family, isn't it? If you hear what He says and you don't do it, you're not His family. And you can't do it if you don't hear it, so that doesn't even enter into the equation. Hear and do, Jesus says. The deepest relationship, and you know this, even in a physical sense, the deepest relationship is not determined by blood, by heredity. That's not where the deepest relationships are necessarily come. It's determined by hearts and minds that mesh together and work together and are in unity and love together and have the same goal. That's what relationships are about. Those are the deepest relationships. And we don't always have them, and many times we don't, with somebody who's a blood relative, do we? The person closest to God is the person who obeys God and takes His word seriously. That's us, right? We take His word seriously, don't we? Do we obey God? John 14:21. "Whosoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him." I want to see and I want to hear Jesus. I got to have that relationship with Him by doing what He says when I hear it. Let's let's go ahead and, let's read one more here. 1 John 2:24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. This is where we started, isn't it? Remember when we started out? Remember our theme passage? Listen to the words. Listen to what you've heard. Keep it in you. Keep what you've been, so that you don't drift away. If it does, you will remain in the Son and in the Father. You've got to keep that word in you. It's got to live in you. It's got to be the thing that rules you. That's how the Spirit moves us. It's by the Word living in our hearts. Okay, this is the closing verse. Revelation 3:20. To him who overcomes. We already talked about overcoming, didn't it? To him who overcomes. To him who perseveres. I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Wow. Jesus says we can do what he did. Now, I know we can't do exactly what he did. It's too late. We already sinned. But God made it so that doesn't have to matter. We can still sit on the throne with God if we truly have a relationship with him and hear and do what he teaches. Now, I know as I look out here, everyone except that little tiny baby there is a member of God's body, Christ's body. And I know that we know what the truth is. And I know that we've heard and we've obeyed the call. But perhaps we haven't made the commitment fully that God expects us to make. And maybe that's why sometimes we struggle and we find ourselves being choked by the weeds and we find ourselves in the world and out of the world. We need to fully commit to God. And the good news is you can do it. You can do it right now. You can do it at any minute. You can be forgiven of your sins by asking for it. But if you have a spiritual need, then you should let it be known as we sing,